This scene deals with the subject many fathers find so difficult, wet dreams and the explanation of physical intercourse in the marriage union. The boy might be as young as 9 or as old as 14, and his age should govern the amount of detail given. As in the previous record, the comradeship between father and son is obvious. They share little man-to-man confidences, and the years have seen many small talks between them. Notice particularly 3 points in this recording. First, the unabashed normal use of such technical terms as penis and sperm. These flatter a boy's sense of responsibility. Next, the coupling of sex information with instruction on purity. Virtue is described not as something for sissies, but as a protecting armor the strong man throws around the God-given creative power in his body. Finally, the groping of the father for the right words, the lack of glibness, the occasional touches of humor, all indicate a natural approach that is true to life.
All right. Watch it.
No, Bob.
A good boxer never leads with his right. Here, let's try it again. Don't leave yourself open, though.
Okay, Dad. How's that?
Golly, time out.
Golly, Dad, did I hurt you?
No, but I don't like... I like that left hook of yours poking me where my waistline used to be. Yeah, I guess you're getting too fast for your old man to spar with anymore.
Aw, sissy. Come on, Dad. Let's grab a Coke out of the icebox.
That's a good idea. Let's take me to your room, what you say, huh?
Oh, sure. Why not?
You know, your mother would give me the devil if she were home and saw me horsing around with you this way.
Yeah. She says you're getting too old for sparring.
Too old? At my age? Can you imagine?
Come on in, Dad. Have a chair.
Yeah, thanks.
No, I'll take the easy chair, Dan.
Now, listen, young fella, I'm not that old. I think I will just the same.
Here you are, Dad. This will make you feel better.
Yeah. It's good. You know, Bob, you're getting to be a pretty big fella. Yes, sir, maybe this is a good idea. Chance for us to have a little talk.
Why, sure, Dad. What's cooking?
You mind if I smoke in your room?
Oh, I know, Dad. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Your mother would probably have a fit. She just had the curtains washed. Remember the last time we talked about this old body of ours, Bob?
Yeah, I remember, Dad.
Yeah. Remember I told you that when two people get married, they become like one person. Spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, Dad.
Well, I guess that didn't make too much sense then.
Well, I have sort of wondered about it a couple times since.
Sure you have. And don't let that worry you. You didn't learn algebra in fourth grade grammar school, did you?
Mm.
Well, now that you've started experimenting with my electric razor... Well, maybe you're ready for the next grade.
Well, shoot, Dad, I'm all ears. Oh, here's a match. Your pipe's gone out again.
Well, thanks. Well, to begin with, you ought to know the medical terms for certain parts of the body. You know, every family has its own set of names, and you youngsters had the most original ones I ever heard. But when a doctor speaks of the male organ, he calls it a penis.
Yeah, I know that already, Dad.
Now, this organ is one of the most wonderful examples we have of how carefully God planned everything for a particular purpose.
Oh, I don't get you.
Well, when a man and a woman are married, Bob, they love each other very much. And in showing their love, their instinct is to embrace each other as if to try to become the one person God intended them to be. Well, son, so closely has God connected our emotions with our bodies that this embrace by the husband and wife arouses in each a great desire for physical oneness. And that's exactly the way God planned it. For the penis of the husband actually passes within his wife's body. Now, that's what we mean by being one physically.
Gee, is that what happens when people get married?
That's right. Now, when the penis has entered, it ejects a fluid which contains the seed, or the sperm, as the doctors call it.
Well, is that the seed that helps make a new baby?
You bet. But here's the important thing to understand now. All those changes in our bodies which make a boy into a man, well, they don't happen overnight. Some of them are going on inside you right this minute.
Golly, Dad, what changes? You mean the electric razor?
No, you rascal. And don't let me catch you monkeying with mine for another couple of years yet. No, Bob. Well, what I'm talking about now is the fluid that contains the sperm or the seed. It's formed in two little sacs beneath the penis, which we call the testicles. Now, one of these nights, before very long, you may find that some of it passes off in your sleep.
Oh, but, Dad, that's wrong, isn't it? I mean...
Oh, no, son. No, it's not at all wrong. Now, it's true that to waste the seed deliberately, to do anything knowingly to make it come, is a very grave sin. Because God designed that secretion in a man for one purpose. To be, well, like one of his raw materials in the creation of a new life. But wet dreams, as we call them, are very different. You see, the body manufactures that fluid all the time. And when the supply becomes too great, as it does sometimes before men are married, nature opens a sort of a safety valve in your sleep, and it passes off.
Gee, our bodies are complicated, aren't they, Dad?
Oh, you bet. More complicated than the biggest dynamo ever built. Only God could make our bodies.
Oh, but, Dad, why do fellas get these feelings before they get married?
Now, that's a good question, Bob. To begin with, this business of propagating the human race is quite a job. In spite of modern medicine, childbirth still means a certain amount of pain for the mother. As for the father, well, you'll find out what it's like to buy groceries for a crowd like this soon enough.
Well, you mean that maybe some people might not want to have children otherwise?
Something like that. So, in order to make sure this old world would be populated, God made the desire of man for woman one of the strongest of all human instincts. Something like the way he made food taste good, so that we'd be sure to get our vitamins each day.
Golly, the way he figured everything out.
Yeah, he sure did. But now here's the important thing. This feeling of desire, like our appetite for food, Bob, was instituted for its own special purpose in God's scheme of things. You know what happens when you stuff yourself with cake and cokes until you're ready to pop.
Sure, I get a stomachache.
You bet. Well, it's the same way with desire. Men begin to feel it occasionally, well, as soon as they start to grow up. I did when I was a boy. You will, too. But always remember this, son. Whenever you feel the stirrings of desire within you, now just remember that God is getting your body ready for the great calling of fatherhood. To be his partner in creation. So, guard that desire, something holy. Don't waste it. Keep it unspoiled for the girl who someday will be your wife. Get it?
I got it, Dad.
Fine. Now, if you have any questions, come and tell me about them. And now, about any of those thoughts you were talking about, don't let them worry you. When they come, and they will every so often, remember that you can always knock them kicking with a simple 1-2 punch, a quick little prayer, and then some work. Any work or sport, as long as it's hard. Hey, which reminds me, how about coming out in the back and seeing if you can sneak that new curve past me the way you did last Saturday, huh?
Oh, go on, that's easy. You couldn't hit that curve if it was a basketball.
Wait, you fresh young Turk, I'll show you how I hit 360 with the Bearcats. Eh, trouble with you kids. You think anyone over 21 has to travel in a wheelchair. Ouch. Ouch. Goes a confounded back of mine.
Come on, Dad, let's go.